Welcome back to the show. Our guest today, he's been on shows, appeared in over 75 TV shows and films, including West Wing, Golden Girls, Star Trek Enterprise.
Who is this guy?
Yes. Really?
You can see him in his critically acclaimed and more often than not sold-out show, Small Parts, starting October 15th through the 19th of November here in Hollywood at the Lounge Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Tanner.
Really? You got Richard Tanner on this show?
You know it.
What a coup. What an incredible coup. How did you do that?
Wait, aren't you Richard Tanner?
Oh, right. Yes.
Sorry, I forgot. Richard, you are here today, and you're very colorful. You've got all...
Is that a euphemism for something?
Yes, very colorful clothes on. Your clothes are very bright.
Well, he's very stylish. Wait till you see the picture.
I knew this was going to be audio, so I wanted to make sure that what I wore was really important.
I like that.
Honestly, I was so excited when I realized this was audio. I was like, I don't have to shave. And then I was like, oh, but they want to take some pictures afterwards. Okay.
So you took it one step further and you came in wearing this great fedora and everything.
Yes.
Great. You look snazzy.
What about the evening gloves? No mention of the evening gloves. All right. Too much?
And that long cigarette, you know,
too
with
much?
The cigarette hanging at the end.
Too much?
Darling,
am I overdressed? Sorry.
Never.
So how are you, sir?
Meanwhile, you should see these guys. They're not wearing anything.
Yeah, no. we just worked half
kind
naked.
Of like your picture for Small Parts. Let's just go into that.
Oh, you want to go to that right away. Well,
you brought it up.
No, actually, I didn't, but yes. Okay, you know, the sad thing is when I first workshopped the show in 2012, and I had the title and that image in my head like before I wrote a word.
Okay. It,
for those of you who don't know, it's a takeoff on the famous Marilyn Monroe pinup calendar.
Yeah,
where I'm holding my headshot over my parts.
Mm-hmm.
My parts. And in 2012, everybody's like, oh, that's so funny. What a funny takeoff, blah, 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 blah. We even used the red velvet from the retoucher used the red velvet from the Marilyn Monroe. Well, 2 years later, I don't know, are people younger or stupider? But every single person is like, I don't get it. Why are you naked? I don't get it. So on the website, www.smallpartstheshow.com, you can actually, if you look around enough of the tabs, you'll see a separated at birth thing of her calendar and me next to it.
Isn't it a shame you have to explain that to the kids these days?
It kind of is.
What is happening in Hollywood?
I have to explain television to kids today.
Yeah.
That's true.
Typewriter.
An old phone. A rotary phone.
I miss word processors.
I miss people communicating with each other, actually physically communicating. I think that's my biggest problem right now. I think that you know, you go into a restaurant and you can see people just, you know, sitting next to each other just talking on their phone instead of actually communicating.
Yes.
And that's going to be hard, too, because when you go into the theater, you'll hear it several times. You know, please shut off your electronic devices. That's going to be tough when
there's
you're doing your shows.
There's one person that doesn't shut it off.
Yeah, there's always one.
Yes, you're right. Of course, you're right. And the big thing is, you know, one of the saddest things is I went to I remember going to like a bar, you know, like a singles bar, and everybody was just buried on texting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what, like, and then, I can top even this one. When I was in Australia in January, I actually, on the dance floor, people were dancing, but not looking at each other. They were texting while they were,
God.
I swear to God.
Wait, what country was this?
Wow. Australia.
Wow.
Gosh, that's ridiculous.
I never lie. That's why I'm still a renter.
But see, the last great place is a bar for people to talk.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? That's all we have left, and now that's gone.
Yes, I agree.
Such a shame.
But as far as people turning off their cell phones during shows, I think I chose not to make that announcement because I come from an theater and also improv background, and part of my fun with this show is I like to have something new every night. Mm-hmm. So bring it on. Have your cell phone. I will stop the show. I will start talking to you. I already have audience participation built into the show, but it's like I really actually... With this show, at least, I relish
those moments.
Those moments. I relish anything out of the ordinary that I can react to.
So,
yeah. So now watch. Everybody's going to come and set their phone
yeah,
to,
know,
like,
yeah. to we'll, ring. We'll be the first ones who are there.
I'll make sure it's on high volume.
open night, you know.
What's
going on?
We'll call each other.
There's a show. Hey, what do you think of the show so far?
But okay, so you started the show. You said you had the title and you had the picture in your mind.
Yeah.
And then where did you go from there?
To the computer.
Okay. Not the typewriter.
To the word processor.
No. This show is really gestating for, I'd say, you know, a good 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's based on 20 some odd years, unless, of course, there's any industry people listening. And then I've just been in the business for a year. I'm a fresh young face,
yes,
actually. No, it's
overnight success.
It's based on 25 years of being an actor and never seeing another show that really talked about, like, the dark underbelly quite that I was experiencing. I mean, a lot of one-person shows are, and then I did this, and then I did this, mm-hmm. and then I did this, and then this happened, and then this happened. I call this so, you know, jokingly, I call it like a cautionary tale, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about, you know, people letting go of their dreams or not pursuing their dreams. Well, this show is about what happens to you if you don't let go of your dream, which sometimes is just as horrible. But all kidding aside, so it, you know, it had been sort of... I learned a long time ago that by turning horrible things into funny things, that's how I started doing stand-up, really, mm-hmm. is it was a way to get control over them. And
right.
it's a way yeah. to sort of, you know, overcome, you know, the old saying, tragedy plus time equals comedy. You know, it's absolutely true. You don't even need that much time, you know.
Right.
You know, I started writing about it and I got a few things published. I started talking about it in my stand-up. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing storytelling. And that whole storytelling movement that started, and I was with one of the original storytelling groups in L.A. called Story Salon. Wonderful, wonderful storytelling collective. I had the opportunity to actually kind of explore this a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of started to pull together some of those stories and then flesh it out. And talk about the stuff that I always wanted to share with other people, or stuff that, like, I just had to get out, you know, like mm-hmm. stuff that was still kind of haunting me a little bit.
Right.
Doesn't this
yeah.
make it sound like hilarious?
That's
like a laugh
so
riot?
Funny.
But it is. It. I swear. You.
Hey, I can improv too, mister.
Where did all those people come
They're
from?
Here for
this
you.
Is a really small room. Where are you? Do you operate like a slave trade thing?
Yes, they're all behind these curtains.
No, but if you look at the reviews, you'll see. I mean, people really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to hold for laughs quite a bit in the show, which is very satisfying.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. People are enjoying it. That's why. So it started at the Fringe.
It actually started in a workshop in 2012, and it was a two-hour version. Everybody said, "Oh, you're crazy!" But I had this. You know, it's like you got to try these things out. I had a first act, an intermission, a second act, and during the intermission, people went into the lobby, which I had turned into the Richard Tanner Memorial Museum,
oh, God.
Where I had framed all of my horrible headshots from
That's
the very
amazing.
Beginning in these like fake Louis the 14th frames, and had a glass case with like, you know, rejection slips in it and old stage makeup and programs and flyers for shows nobody ever went to see. Then 2014, I decided, you know, it was time to bring it back and see if I could kind of streamline the show for a festival format. Mm-hmm. So that was really why I brought it back for the Fringe Festival. So I shortened it to 75 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. one act, reduced a lot of the, you know, it still has a multitude of sound and video, and there's even animation I've created for the show. It's kind of a multimedia experience, but it's shorter. And that's the version I'll be. And it was so popular at the Fringe that the Lounge asked me to come back and do it again. And
that'll be every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday from the 15th to November 19th.
That's then,
excellent.
Yeah. At the Lounge Theater,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Small Parts. That's amazing. So let's go back a little bit, Richard, in time here.
Sure.
You've had several roles from good guys to bad guys.
Mostly bad guys.
Mostly bad
or
guys.
It's not even bad guys. It's mostly like losers. I actually, in the show, there's a graph. I have actually a pie chart. And I show exactly the categories of parts. It's mostly, I can really reel it off. It's like bad scientists, bad lawyers, bad doctors, bad politicians. Yeah.
Do you enjoy...
a paycheck.
Yes, as we all do. Do you enjoy, you know, those kind of roles? Is this how you saw your
No,
career
it is
going?
So. No. And again, that is so much what this show is about. Mm-hmm. It's about the gap between one's, what one thought one's life would look like. And by one, of course, I mean me. And the reality of what, you know, and I think that's something it's something that everybody who's seen the show has been able to relate to. The most gratifying thing has been people who've come up to me, you know what, I'm not an actor, I have nothing to do with show business, and this was my story.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because
wow.
I think everybody has that image
that
of who they're going to be in 20 years, and then you are that age, and you're like, how did I get here?
Right.
So no, I want it to be Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
You know, I want it to be... who else? You know, if I take too many people, I'm going to be dating myself. No, but I'm not ashamed of it. I was addicted to old movies. I wanted to be Jimmy Stewart. I wanted to be all those funny and yet, you know, really, you know, sensitive and funny guys.
Right, but you've done so many.
But the truth of the matter is, here's the truth. Okay, you listening?
All right, everybody.
Yes, listen up.
Shh, audience.
Here we go.
Here's the truth. Richard Danner.
A lot of the parts you get are based on what you look like.
No.
I know.
Stop it.
Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody.
Edit it out, Rena.
So, you know, the audience can't see me, but I'm somewhat swarthy. I'm not your all-American. So it's no wonder that, honestly, for a number of years, I didn't get to play a single American. Mm-hmm. I got cast as Greek, Russian, Turkish, Israeli,
Latino.
I once did a commercial in Spanish. I didn't speak in Spanish, but I didn't have to speak for the Spanish lottery. And a second before we were about to shoot, the client came over and they were like, you are Latino, aren't you? And I just was like, and then I could see them starting to sweat, and they're like, you have like some Latino heritage, right? And of course, you know, all Jews are originally from Spain. So yeah, I was like, yeah, sure. So all Sephardic Jews. Anyway, so that tells you something, you know, and as a result, I had to learn how to do a convincing Turkish accent, Syrian accent, Russian accent, just like Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, she and I get confused a lot.
All the time.
I see that.
All the time. I know.
You know what? So those are that's kind of a blessing, because to be able to be that, you know, broadly gifted and to be able to step into all of those different roles, most people can't do that.
I tell you, I don't know that I could have.
Because they haven't had to.
Yes, exactly. I think so much of it was sink or swim. I mean, literally, I shot a show where 15 minutes before this crucial scene, the director said, you know, we're shooting this in Arabic. And I laughed because he had been pulling my leg. I said, yeah, haha, very funny. Because I knew it was the character was Syrian. And he said, no, the network just said they want it in Arabic. You do speak Arabic, don't you? And I was like, so what I did, you know, it's like, you don't have time to panic. I called up a friend who spoke Arabic. I got him down to the set. He went over the lines with me phonetically. I got it down in half an hour. I did the scene.
Wow, that's
amazing. But that's panic response. You know, I don't attribute that to any innate talent. I really do attribute that to, like,
that's pretty impressive.
Thank you, folks. Thank you.
I can't even memorize something in a day and a half. So,
language. But in real life, I forgot my phone number the other day. So it's like, it has nothing. It just is what you do under the circumstances.
But you know what? Shenanigans like that are the things that make you so irreplaceable to a director.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, I have a few cast directors I'd like you to call up and tell them.
I will. I will be like,
no, but it's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just unbelievable that you would be able to be that quick on your feet.
You know, and again, it's like to get back to your great question, it's not at all like the career I thought I was going to have. Mm-hmm. But one of the lessons in writing this show and performing it and years of therapy is that, you know, your life is your life. It's not a rehearsal. This is your life, you know, and you can choose to say this isn't what I wanted, or you can say, you can embrace it and say, you know, and let me just say that title for my show has multiple meanings.
Yes. Yes.
Small parts.
So if you were to give yourself advice then.
I was going to ask that too.
Well, there you have it. Great minds think alike. If you were to give yourself advice now to a younger Richard Tanner, what would it be on this career?
Wash your hands frequently. Mm-hmm. So you don't get germs. No. always wear clean underwear. So
be careful crossing the streets.
No,
always,
that's great.
Always
swim
to the buddy.
I would love to give advice. I actually wish that somebody had given me. I really was in need of a mentor when I started out and just never really found one.
Right.
Some of the greatest advice I've ever gotten has been learn from years of experience. And also, I'm going to give props now to a guy named Michael Kostroff, if he's out there listening, who is a fantastically talented actor, but who started to give the seminar called Audition 101. And I went just to support him, and it was everything that I had figured out on my own crystallized into one thing.
Right.
And the gist of it, I'll give you just one of the many gems that I had, again, sort of come to my own, but he confirmed. Every time you audition, it's a chance to do what you love more than anything else in the world. Which
yes.
Is
yes.
Even if it's for a minute, if it's for 5 minutes. Thank you again. You know, these people of yours, they are great. I don't know.
They love you.
There's so much good advice.
Are you going to untie them at one point?
It's almost like they clap on command, right?
We just keep them here forever.
They look really uncomfortable.
They never leave.
That's one. You know, another is, and this is still something I think, is you can't guess what somebody else wants. You can't try to be what you think somebody else might want you to be. That's a hard one. It really is. Because I think a lot of us become actors. Why? Because we want to step into other people's shoes.
Right.
We want to experience, right? And yet, what a casting director after casting director tell you? Just be yourself.
Just be yourself. Just be.
Well, if I wanted to be myself, I would be working at Walmart or something. I'd never work at Walmart. I would never, for the record, I would never, ever work at Walmart.
They're just our sponsor.
Yeah, they're
no
just our
deal.
Sponsor. No, I'm kidding.
You know, it's this delicate balance of knowing who you are and yet, you know, existing under imaginary circumstances, which any acting teacher will tell you. And so you bring those qualities that nobody else has. So instead of going, who do they want? Can I be what they want? I can be anything they want me to be. No, you go like, this is who I am. This is what I will bring to the role if you choose me. These are the qualities I have. Here you go. And I tell you, it transforms your auditions. Instead of you auditioning for them in a weird way, it's almost like just a meeting. And you're almost auditioning them. Mm-hmm. Like, here's what I have. You like it? Great. You don't? Good. It's okay.
And then walk
you're
away.
Lost. And then walk away.
Walk away.
Walk away. And that was another, again, hard one lesson. So much so that, like, people will say, oh, how did your audition go? Or how did that thing go that you shot? And I'm not lying. I'll be like, what? Because if you really, truly put it behind you, you're already on to the next thing by the time you're halfway out that door.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great
advice. Really true. That's really true. Leave it in the room or whatever they say. Mm-hmm. Not attached to the outcome. What's that acronym?
One quick thing before we go to our questions. We have one more question. Thing
are these questions from those applauding people?
Yes. Yes, they wrote in. No.
They don't seem to speak English.
Before we go, we always like to play a little game with our guests.
Sure.
It's called Hollywood Close-Ups Quick and Quirky Game. We're just going to ask you a series of questions, and you just answer them.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I win something if I get them all right?
Yes. We'll actually air this episode.
We'll actually turn on the air conditioning.
Zing. Okay. So, who are your ideal TV parents?
Oh, my gosh. I don't watch a lot of TV lately, so I would have to say, let's take it back to Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore.
There we go.
Can't get better than that.
First time we
first
got
time
them,
we got
and
that.
I, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I wasn't even born when that show was on, so I've heard about it, though.
Beer or wine?
To drink?
Yeah,
dude. I'm a wine drinker. Yeah,
no, red or white?
No, easy. Oh, you know, it depends on what. It really does depend on what you're eating and where you are, and
totally,
and how much money you have.
You're a real wine drinker.
Yes, because so happens we have a box of wine for you right now.
That is A-okay. I'm so not a real wine drinker. Honestly, I'm so not a real that's. I've learned I'm bringing this back to like a general thing. It's great to keep your needs low if you're going to be a freelance artist. So I've never developed like an expensive taste in anything. Cars, wine, stereo equipment, which is fantastic. You save so much money and you can still enjoy stuff.
You should see the size of his phone. It's like a shoebox.
I'm still carrying around a rotary dial phone. It's weird.
If you were a Muppet, which one would you be?
Oh, God, you're asking me these things that I don't watch the Muppets. I'd be...
you know the Muppets.
I know. Well, I mean, Kermit's the star, right?
Right.
So, duh. Okay. Do you really need to ask anyone that?
And final question on Hollywood Close-Ups Quick and Quirky Game.
Yes.
What's your favorite podcast you're on right now?
This one!
A box of wine is yours. Thank you so much.
Oh, I had a blast.
This is so much fun. Yeah. Please check out Small Parts, everyone, at the Lounge Theater starting Wednesday, October 15th, running through November 19th.
We have an early bird special. If you buy your tickets before midnight, Wednesday night, the 8th, half price.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Yes. So, and it's Small Parts,
theshow.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Of course, thank you, Rena Marie, as always, and the wonderful Network Studios. And to all you listening out there, please make sure to check out us at natalieandwayne.com. And thank you to our music, Yaya. We've had him on the past few weeks, strongbraveyaya.com.
And thanks to the hostages that you keep who applauded everything.
they love you, I'm telling you. Thank you so much again, Richard. Please make sure you tune in next week. We have Jared Gertner from the Book of Mormon.